Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Psalms 51, 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Our New Testament reading comes from John 6, 24, 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. After a month of dieting, I lost 30 days. It's hard to diet when your favorite exercise is chewing. I entered what I ate today in my new fitness app, and it just sent an ambulance to my house. Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, Noom, Keto, Atkins, no relation apparently, fasting, intermittent fasting, are all weight loss programs that stay in business from the sheer number of people wanting to shed a few pounds. Now, prior to having my knees replaced a few years back, I had to lose weight, or they wouldn't do the surgery. So with the help of a nutritionist, I went on a very strict diet. And within a year, I had lost 130 pounds. Got my surgery. It was great. We made it into a fundraiser at the church I was serving at the time. People would sponsor me for $1 per pound lost. And having that accountability and not wanting to let down my church, we raised over $1,000. Then came COVID. And my love of baking caught up with me, and not having anyone to share the wonderful baked goods with, I regained 100 of the pounds I lost. And I'm trying to psych myself up and work myself back to that discipline I had several years ago. So far, it's not working, although it must be working a little bit better than I thought, because I shared with you I had my doctor's appointment a week ago, and I was so afraid, because of all the eating we do in this congregation, I was so afraid I'd gained 30 pounds. I would have sworn I'd gained 30 pounds, and I found out that I'd lost 12. So maybe Sherry is right. Church food doesn't contain calories. Although Scarlett put on 5. So anyway. Well, this morning we're going to delve into the Jesus diet, which is bread and fish and wine. And the writer of the Gospel of John spends more time talking about Jesus as the bread of life in chapter 6 than he does about Christ's death and suffering in chapter 19. So it was obviously very, very important to him. And I am going to start the story a little before our reading today, because it's the iconic chapter begins with one of Jesus' most amazing miracles and most well known. Feeding roughly 5,000 men, along with all the women and children, who didn't make the census because they didn't matter. Whole other issue. Well, actually, John doesn't make any comments as to the gender of his crowd, but Luke says that he fed 5,000 men, not including the women and children. Matthew adds that. So that could bring the number up to about 15,000 instead of 5,000. Now that's really a crowd. So it's no wonder that the disciples began to panic a bit. As the sun was starting to go down, they approached Jesus and basically said, you know, Rabbi, we got a situation here. We need to tell people the show's over, it's time to go home so they can prepare their meals, because we are not prepared for this. We have no food, and we have no money, and even if we did have the money, it would cost more than 6 months' wages to feed all of these people. And like all miracles, it began by declaring that something was impossible. I mean, that's how all miracles begin. I mean, consider the following. A mere 150 years ago, you would be certifiably crazy if you believed or even imagined that a machine would replace the horse and get you 500 miles over land in 8 hours. Or a flying machine holding 500 people would zip through the air, leaving New York City and landing in Paris 6 hours later. Or that you could talk to or see someone anywhere in the world in real time. Or deadly diseases such as polio, smallpox, measles would be obliterated by vaccines. I mean, the list is inexhaustible. Just when we think something is impossible, it's possible. For God, nothing is impossible. Just like the disciples, we know not to allow our limited vision and frail faith to constrain the work of our powerful God. Now, this miracle is not merely a display of Jesus' power over nature, but a symbolic act of divine provision and abundance. I mean, in this miracle, Jesus demonstrates his power to satisfy physical hunger and unveils profound spiritual truths about abundance, generosity, and the boundless grace of God. But first, Jesus noticed the need of the people who had gathered. The story begins with Jesus being moved with compassion, going among the people, laying hands upon them, and healing them of their diseases. And now these people were hungry, and they were tired, and Jesus saw their need. And he first invited the disciples to come up with a plan. But they were still the disciples and didn't know what to do. And so Jesus took over. And it was such an amazing day that people were ready to seize him by force and crown him their king. But here is the remarkable thing. Miracles happen when we notice people around us are in desperate need. And the type of need varies, but the need is there. I mean, we can expect amazing outcomes when we obey Jesus' simple command. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. When we accept the challenge, the bread and the fish will appear. And if that's certainly not visible to us in the outreach ministries that we have here, we are living that. We are living out that directive. The crowds raised such a ruckus that the disciples and Jesus had to get in a boat and escape to the other side of the lake. And the people caught up with them the next morning, which brings us to today's reading, which is called the Bread of Life Discourse. We leave the 5,000 plus and 12 baskets of leftover broken pieces, and we learn that the heart of Jesus' miracle diet is bread. I could get behind a diet like that. But that the bread that Jesus is referring to is Jesus himself. Jesus is the bread of life, and he is the water of life. I am the bread of life, meaning that he is the source of true spiritual nourishment. Even as the little boy who was the source of literal nourishment for the multitudes with his 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus stands in place of the child by offering spiritual nourishment for those who believe in him. This nourishment includes forgiveness, redemption, and a restored relationship with God. It is a hunger that is forever sated by Jesus himself. So when Jesus tells the world that he is the bread of life, he is offering the world a new diet plan. It's a miracle diet, high in spiritual nutrients, commitment, and courage. Jesus is the source of our energy and our power. Jesus invites us to try this diet and find complete satisfaction, purpose, and eternal life when we sign up for his exclusive program. Results guaranteed. Like most diet plans, the miracle Jesus diet isn't always easy. At times, his teachings may challenge our beliefs and stretch our faith. And yet when those doubts arise, we can't go wrong by remembering Peter's words, "We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." John's account of the feeding of thousands is the start of a journey from physical provision to spiritual sustenance. It invites us to recognize Jesus not just as a miracle worker, but as the very source of life itself. As we navigate the complexities of life, let's bookmark the lengthiest chapter in the Gospel of John, remembering that Jesus is the very source of life, both as bread and as water. In Jesus Christ, we will find the nourishment, the guidance, and fulfillment that our souls deeply crave. And it is only fitting that we should commit our lives to the one who offers a plan whereby we need never hunger or thirst again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.